Hello there, dear listener. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you again with another edition of The Word of the King. Coming to you again from the city of Jerusalem, in the land of Israel, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 1 through 8 in The Word of the King. In the English language, the King James Authorized Version 1611 declares, "Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Who may say unto him, What doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 4 reads, where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, what doest thou? On this edition of The Word of the King, we are going to be having a July 4th special as a message not only from the Word of God, briefly myself bringing it forth by the Spirit of God, by God's grace, but also Brother Kenny bringing forth a message that he has done in the past in commemoration of this holiday known as July 4th, Independence Day. Now, let me just remind you, dear listener, if you have any questions or comments concerning what you hear on this or any other edition of The Word of the King, you may forward those questions, those comments, to the following email address. The Word of the King. That's The Word of the King. A as in Adam, B as in Victor, 1611@hotmail.com. The Word of the King, AV1611@hotmail.com. And by the grace of God, I will get back to you and I will respond to those questions and comments. And also, Brother Kenny here very shortly will once again give you the information that you would need in case you would like to donate at all financially as the Spirit leads to what God is doing through the Word of the King and the Sowers of Seed Ministries and also Holiness Bibles for the Blind, and how you can also give and contribute through Six Eyes Radio. I would just remind you that if you want to contribute anything in the way of a check or money order to the work that God is doing here at the Word of the King through Sowers of Seed, you can write that out to my Father After the Flesh, Joel, J-O-E-L, like the prophet Joel, J-O-E-L, Groover, G-R-U-V as in Victor, E-R. And then you can send that check or money order to the following address, 2976 Honey, H-O-N-E-Y, Valley, two separate words, Valley, V-A-L-L-E-Y, Road, Dallas Town, D-A-L-L-A-S-T-O-W-N, Pennsylvania, 17313. And again, that's 2976 Honey Valley Road, Dallas Town, Pennsylvania, 17313. And again, as you write that check or money order out to my Father After the Flesh, Joel Groover, G-R-U-V as in Victor, E-R, he will see to it that that gets into my bank account as he cashes it. And before I open us up in a word of prayer, let me also remind you that if you would, you may also go and look at our website at www.holiness, H-O-L-Y as in year, N-E-S-S, Bibles for, F-O-R, the blind, .org. And as Kenny will inform you, there's also that PayPal account there whereby you can make donations as the Spirit leads. And then also I would encourage you to also check out Dave Hodges, The Common Sense Show. That's Dave Hodges, H-O-D as in Daniel, G-E-S. Dave Hodges, The Common Sense Show, www.thecommonsensenseshow.com. You just go to Yahoo, go to your search engine, and just put Dave Hodges, Common Sense Show. Click on search, and it should pull up his blog. Then there's also Doug Thornton. Doug Thornton, T-H-O-R, and as in Nathan, T-O-N. American Vindicta, American Vindicta, V as in Victor, I-N, D as in Adam. I as in Israel, C as in Cat, T as in Tom, A. American Vindicta. Just put Doug Thornton, T-H-O-R-N-T-O-N, dash American Vindicta. And click on search, and that should pull up Doug's blog at AmericanVindictaShow.com and also his audios that he has posted at gsradio.net. And then there's also the website, the blog of Dr. Scott Johnson, Brother Scott Johnson at www.contending4fortruth.com. And also the website, the blog of Brother John McTernan at www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. That's www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. And then there's also the website and the blog of Mike Adams at www.naturalnews.com. That's www.naturalnews.com. And you can turn in your Bible a while to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And Brother Kenny, before I open us up in a word of prayer, would you just go ahead and would you give the general instructions as to how they can go about making donations to the work at Holiness Bibles for the Blind, the Word of the King, Sowers of Seed, and also if they would like to contribute through Six Eyes Radio?
I'd surely be glad to do that, Tim. First off, as he mentioned, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org is the main thing that you're going to need. It's the main hub for the donations there. First off, on holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Once you're on there, go on there, and you'll see a link that says Sow the Seed Ministries. Click that. Once you do, go down that page to where it says Love Offerings. When you click that, you'll be on Tim's secure PayPal page to make a donation to Brother Tim Groover and the Word of the King and Sow the Seed Ministries. Now, if you wish to make a donation to the Holiness Bibles for the Blind Ministry, you just go straight down the homepage as soon as you go on holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, and you'll, right at the very bottom, you'll see our Love Offerings link, and when you do that, you'll be on our secure PayPal page where you can make a secure donation with your PayPal or credit card, and you can make that donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You can also make a donation with check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Once again, make any checks or money orders to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And then, of course, if you wish to make a donation to the Six Eyes Radio Network, right there on the homepage of holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, you'll see the information for the Six Eyes Radio Network. It tells you how to use Cash App, which is simply you enter the information, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. Or you could use the secure PayPal link right there for Six Eyes Radio Network. Or you can enter the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. And any donations are greatly appreciated. In all of those cases, remember, for Six Eyes Radio, it is a nonprofit, and we can only stay on the air with your love gifts. And all is appreciated. As well, if you wish to get copies of the program here, The Word of the King, you can get that several options. First off, by going to blogtalkradio.com/6eyes. You can find it also on Apple Podcasts, or just go to your phone, and if you have the iHeartRadio app, just go to your iHeartRadio app, enter Six Eyes Radio, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space radio, R-A-D-I-O, click enter, and you'll have us right there. And you can find the Word of the King as well as all the other programming at Six Eyes Radio. Also, you can enter the Word of the King, the Word of the King, and you'll have the straight podcast delivered by Buzzsprout that you'll be able to find as well, and you'll be able to get that directly into your smartphone, tablet, or iPhone, etc., any of those devices. That way you'll be able to keep up with the Word of the King right here as it is put out every week. Amen.
All right, Brother Kenny, thank you very much. I'm going to open us now in a word of prayer, and then after this, we're going to get started. Dear listener, now, I don't know how long I'm going to be with you tonight. At one point, likely going to cut out, and then Brother Kenny is going to take over from there. At what point that'll be, Lord knows, and I'm sure Ruth will be watching by God's grace to let Kenny know when that's the case. But anyhow, let's open us up in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua ben Elohim, ben David, son of you, the living God, son of David, we thank you, dear God, for this opportunity now as we celebrate another July 4th, another Independence Day in the United States of America. We ask you, dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, to pour out your spirit, dear God, and Lord, all the more help us by the grace of you, the living God, to live independently of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to be all the more dependent upon you, the one true God of heaven and earth, the Holy One of Israel, you are. Praise you and give you thanks in Jesus' name, B'Shem Yeshua Mashiach, in the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, here in John chapter 8, verse 12, we're going to start. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Dear listener, I would ask you this July 4th, wherever you are, you in the United States of America, wherever you are in the world, can you honestly and sincerely say from your heart that you are not walking in darkness, but that you have the light of life? Or you can only say that sincerely if you know what it's like to have the Spirit of God say to you through faith in Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in the previous verse, verse 11, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. I'm so thankful for the day that Jesus came to me as the Holy One of the Holy One of Israel, when I deserved to be damned, when I deserved to be stoned, he found me. And yet he said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Even as it is written, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You jump down to verse 24 here in John 8. Jesus speaks, he says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Do you believe that Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah of Israel, is who he proclaimed himself to be? Because if you believe not that he is the great I am, Emmanuel, God with us, you shall die in your sins. Continuing on down through the end of the chapter here in John 8. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Can you say this Independence Day, this July 4th, wherever you are in the world, be you the United States of America or wherever, can you say that the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, hath made you free, that you have come to know the truth as one of his disciples, indeed, continuing in his word? He said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, even as he is, in the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him, according to John 14:6. Continuing on, verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Have you recognized, dear listener, that as a sinner, you are the servant of sin, and you need to be set free by the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua? Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered him and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. And again, dear listener, let me remind you, truth is the revelation unto true hope. True hope is knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you're reconciled to God, and that when you die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Do you know for sure that when you die, it'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord? Are you 100% sure that you're not going to lift up your eyes in hellfire, in everlasting torment, and spend eternity in that place prepared for the devil and his angels? Verse 40, again, Jesus says, "But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham." Verse 41, "Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be born not of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." And I would remind you also, dear listener, the way you say Elohim, God in Hebrew, Elohim is plural because he is Abba, Father. He is Ben, Son, and Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, the great three in one. As 1 John 5:7 declares, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Hence he said in Genesis, when he made man, "Let us make man in our image," the very image of Elohim, the very image of God. Verse 43, Jesus says to them, "Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word?" 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 tells us, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. And the preaching of the cross, them that perish, foolishness," were also told in 1 Corinthians. Is the preaching of the cross foolishness to you? Is the things of the Spirit still foolishness to you, dear listener? Jesus says, "Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." And here's where I would say, take that, John Hagee, and any of you that teach, as he teaches, this thing of ethnic salvation, that just because you got Jewish blood in you, it doesn't matter whether or not you receive the great I Am Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Take that. Jesus says again, Yeshua says, "You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And let me tell you, am I ever really battling devils, and am I really battling with lying spirits in this place, in this city, in this land, in this present evil world? Resist the devil, dear listener, and watch him flee, dear listener. Watch that devil flee as you resist him in the name of Jesus and by the power of God's word. Jesus goes on, verse 45, "And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus, Yeshua, answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me." In verse 50 and verse 51, Jesus goes on, "And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily," meaning truly, truly, "I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." And again, death is doing evil against triune holiness, Elohim, Abba, Ben, Ruach, HaKodesh, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And let me just encourage you, dear listener, to be in prayer for me, because again, I am battling devils. I've been attacked and I've been oppressed by devils for some time at night, and they're provoking people at these hostels and everything to complain, and I'm getting driven out of these places. So, and let me also say to keep praying that God gives me my wife, because I need my help meet. I need my wife. And ultimately, these devils know that when I get to know my wife, their hellish fun and their hellish games and their oppression of me will be over. And Lord willing, by the grace of God, I can maybe elaborate on that more in another broadcast, another edition of the Word of the King. Continue to pray for the United States of America. Righteousness exalts the nation, but sinners are approached to any people. Continue to pray for the United States of America, the nations of this world, and for God to pour out his Spirit. Now, Kenny, if you would play our first recording, please.
This is Yuval Noah Harari. He's Jewish, referred to as a public intellectual, historian, and professor of the Department of History at Hebrew University in Jerusalem. He's the author of the blockbuster book Sapiens, which has sold over 45 million copies. He says the book explains what it means to be human. You're going to hear him talk about human beings being like gods, which was Satan's first lie to Eve, about his homosexuality, his strong belief in evolution, about Jesus and his teachings, and even about the resurrection of Christ. Though he's an atheist, he will quote the Bible, continually refer to Scripture, talk of God as the petty lawgiver, and speak with excitement about the possibility of artificial intelligence replacing the Bible with a new and better version. You'll hear him say that we have the power to create new life forms, which is just not true. The most intelligent scientist on the face of the earth can't create a grain of sand from nothing, let alone any form of life. God alone creates life. Man destroys it.
Tell us what you see and why it's difficult, perhaps, to preview the future at this time.
Well, we are now almost like gods in terms of our powers of creation and destruction. We now have the power to create new life forms, but also to destroy much of life on Earth, including ourselves. Instead of uniting in order to face these common challenges to our species, we are dividing, we are fighting each other more and more. The evolution of life on Earth took something like 4 billion years, 4 billion years to reach these plants and to reach us, human beings. So ChatGPT and all these wonders, they are the amoebas of the AI world. What would T-Rex look like? It's the first technology ever that can create new ideas. Gutenberg printed the Bible in the middle of the 15th century. The printing press printed as many copies of the Bible as Gutenberg instructed it, but it did not create a single new page. It had no ideas of its own about the Bible. Is it good? Is it bad? How to interpret this? How to interpret that? AI can create new ideas, can even write a new Bible. Throughout history, religions dreamt about having a book written by a superhuman intelligence. In a few years, there might be religions that are actually correct. That just think about a religion whose holy book is written by an AI. That could be a reality in a few years. And you have this discussion for thousands of years about what humans really are. Are they immaterial soul or an immaterial mind? Or are they embodied beings? Embodied entities. This was a major philosophical topic that you see, say, in ancient Christianity, this discussion that Jesus and the first Christians, influenced by Jewish traditions,
don't be deceived by this man. That is not true. They were not influenced by Jewish traditions. They were influenced by the scriptures. Jesus flouted the empty tradition. He called the religious leaders hypocrites, saying that they strained at the gnat and swallowed the camel. He said that by their tradition, they nullified the word of God.
They believed very firmly that humans are bodies, which is why Christ rises in the body. He's resurrected in the body. And when Christ initially talks about the kingdom of heaven, he means the kingdom of heaven on earth. He tells his followers that there'll be this perfect kingdom here on earth, you know, with trees and stones and people.
This is what he's telling his mostly secular audience, that what Jesus taught had nothing to do with God or with heaven. The kingdom of God is about trees and stones and people. In other words, don't be concerned about heaven. Let's be concerned about this earth. That's how to get the admiration and the attention of a world that's worried about the future. And now listen as he says that any talk about sin and heaven didn't come from Jesus, but it came because of a form of Christianity that drifted away from his original teachings. Thank God we've got the scriptures to refute his lies.
Over time, under the influence especially of Platonic philosophy, Christianity drifted away from this view of humans as embodied and placed greater and greater emphasis on the immaterial soul or mind. It imagined that the body is dirty, the body is animalistic, the body, there is something wrong with it. And when you die, you're not coming back in the body. Your soul is liberated from the material body, and it goes not to the kingdom on earth, but to heaven, which is a completely immaterial realm.
If you could change one thing in the world by magic today, what would it be?
I would change human understanding of themselves to place more emphasis on our shared biological reality and less on all the kind of fictional stories that we create with our minds. If we could just let go of these stories for a little while and again go back to the level of the body, we would realize that we are all the same. We all of us share the same biology, irrespective of our ideology and religion and whatever. And if we remember that, and let go a little of our ideological and religious fantasies, that's the basis to create a better world for everybody.
And there's the answer for the human dilemma. Get rid of the Bible and its teachings, and you solve the problem.
So the Christian fantasy became to completely disconnect from the body. And this remained a fantasy for thousands of years.
He can't get away from his hatred of the Bible, and there's good reason for this.
As you mentioned, I met my husband online more than 20 years ago, growing up in a small town in Israel, which was very homophobic society at the time. Just meeting other people, just meeting guys for dating was very difficult.
What's the most important learning of your life?
Meditation, to observe myself. But again, to observe how my mind constantly creates fictional stories and be able to let go of them for a little while and just be in touch with the reality as it is. The operating system of every human culture in history has always been language. In the beginning was the word. We used language to create mythology and laws, to create gods and money, to create art and science, to create friendships and nations. Gods are also not a biological or physical reality. God, too, is something that we humans have created with language by telling legends and writing scripture. What would it mean for human beings to live in a world where perhaps most of the stories, melodies, images, laws, policies, and tools are shaped by a non-human, alien intelligence? Already today, in games like chess, no human can hope to beat a computer. What if the same thing happens in art, in politics, economics, and even in religion? In future, we might see the first cults and religions in history whose revered texts were written by a non-human intelligence. And of course, religions throughout history claimed that their holy books were written by a non-human intelligence. This was never true before. This could become true very, very quickly, with far-reaching consequences.
The far-reaching consequences would be a new Bible written by artificial intelligence. Let's see if we can guess what that Bible would be like. It would remove the exclusivity of Christ, the offense of salvation by grace alone, any reference to sin, righteousness, and judgment, and of course, especially any condemnation of homosexuality. It would change the revealed nature of God into an idol that has no sense of justice, no moral dictate, and therefore will not punish sinful behavior. I asked AI the following question. If you were going to rewrite the Bible to suit all religions, what would you remove? This is what it said. Remove exclusivist language. Emphasize universal values. Incorporate teachings from other religious texts. Avoid specific doctrinal statements. Acknowledge multiple paths.
The new AI tool would have an immense influence on human opinion and on our worldview. people, for instance, may come to use, are already coming to use. A single AI advisor is a one-stop oracle. And it's the source for all the information they need. No wonder that Google is terrified, and for a good reason. Why bother searching yourself when you can just ask the oracle to tell you anything you want? You don't need to search. So for thousands of years, we humans basically lived inside the dreams and fantasies of other humans. We've worshipped gods. We pursued ideals of beauty. We dedicated our lives to causes that originated in the imagination of some human poet or prophet or politician.
He just can't stay away from his enmity towards God. It's always there, disguised among a list of other things.
For thousands of years, prophets and poets and politicians have used language and storytelling in order to manipulate and to control people and to reshape society.
I think that fake news has been with us for thousands of years. Just think of the Bible.
Evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design. Not the intelligent design of some god above the clouds, but our intelligent design.
More people were killed and persecuted in the name of the religion of love, Christianity, than in the name of any other idea in human history.
That's just not true. The Encyclopedia of Wars states that there have been over 1,700 wars in human history, with only 7% classified as religious wars. And most of that 7% were Islamic wars. Why would he say something that just isn't true?
The religion of love turned out to be the most intolerant religion in human history.
You talk about in 21 Lessons this notion that God is dead. And is there a place for that notion of God or religion to capture and secure like this notion of meaning in life or purpose in life?
One God is the cosmic mystery. We don't understand why there is something rather than nothing, why the Big Bang happened, what is human consciousness. There are many things we don't understand about the world, and some people choose to call these mysteries by the name of God. That's one kind of God. I have no problem at all with this God. I like it very much.
Here now is the basis for his atheism. It's rooted in idolatry. God to him is nothing more than a mystery. And that nebulous mystery doesn't hold him morally accountable for his sin. And no sinner has a problem with such a non-existent God. But he's offended by the biblical revelation of God, blasphemously calling him a petty lawgiver.
Then there is another God, which is the petty lawgiver. The chief characteristic of this God, we know a lot of extremely concrete things about that God. We know what he thinks about sexuality. And then like a magician, swapping one card for another, they will take out the mystery God and play the petty lawgiver, and you end up with something strange like, because we don't understand the Big Bang, women must dress with long sleeves and men shouldn't have sex together.
Mingling biblical instructions for female modesty with a law that forbids homosexuality may get a giggle from Google, but he will still have to face that law on Judgment Day. What's AI?
AI stands for Artificial Intelligence.
Are you afraid of it?
I wouldn't say I'm afraid of it, but portrayed in media, there's a sense that AI sometime in the future will take over and basically develop some kind of sentient mind and run the world.
That's scary.
It's scary, but I think we can prevent it.
How do we prevent it?
Double down, regulate it, because it seems to be, especially mainstream nowadays, because all over TikTok, Instagram, you see, like, people advertising AI up and about.
Are you afraid of the future?
No.
Have you ever heard of the Antichrist?
Yeah. In the Bible, it says he's going to come first, and people will be deceived to thinking that Christ, you know, the Savior, has actually come to, you know, save us. But in the Bible, it says, no, he's going to come down on a white horse from the clouds. That's what the Bible actually says.
So are you a Christian?
Yes, I am.
So is that why you're not afraid of the future?
Yeah, because I believe we have to be prepared for everything that has to come. And I believe that we have already been given our guidelines in the Bible, especially of preparing for the end times and not being deceived, especially by the Antichrist.
Here are three things to help you grow in your faith. The Living Waters Podcast, the Evidence Study Bible, 200 of the most commonly asked questions of the Christian faith, and much more. The Starter Kit, four of the most popular gospel tracts, available at livingwaters.com. If you'd like to know how to share the Christian message with homosexuals without compromising and without offending them, you've got to watch this. You can watch it right now by clicking up to your left.
Okay, Jeremiah chapter 23, Jeremiah chapter 23, starting in verse 26, it is written, "How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith." And I would just pause here for a moment and just say, be warned, woe unto you, quote-unquote charismatic prophets that go around saying, thus saith the Lord, and you all the time quote things that are not written in the Word of God. God says, "Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith." Again, continuing here in the prophet Jeremiah, Hanavi, Yeremiyahu, in Hebrew. "Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people or the prophet or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man in his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say, the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Do you want an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten, dear listener? God says, Psalm 9:17, the wicked should be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. First John, chapter 2, starting in verse 11, down through verse 21. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let me remind you, dear listener, lust, living under sin's tyranny, or living under Satan's tyranny. And this 4th of July, this Independence Day, be determined that you're going to live independent of self, independent of unrighteousness, independent of this world, the flesh, and the devil, and depend all the more on Jehovah God, the Holy One of Israel, and his Holy One, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Even as you depend on the great three-in-one, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, Abba, Ben, Ruach, Desh, Elohim, that bear record in heaven. And even as every man shall give an account of every idle word and every idle deed, except you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your word, your evil deeds will be your burden in the day of judgment, dear listener. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 16 down through verse 21 of 1 John 2. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Again, verse 20 and 21 of 1 John 2. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And I'll just add verse 22 and 23 also. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. That's some pretty exclusive language that I'm sure that Jewish soul, that Israeli soul, would like to have removed from his artificial intelligence, so-called Bible. But let me just remind you, dear listener, that such artificial intelligence, as Kenny is going to also explain here again here shortly, as I would ask you to do, please do so, Kenny, is an oxymoron. And if anything, you should be called an anti-Christ intelligence. And such anti-Christ intelligence is not intelligence at all, but it's utter foolishness. And I would also remind you, dear listener, that there's this so-called Kabbalistic Jew by the name of Moshe Ben David who did a work here. I even have a copy of the book. It's entitled At the Gate of Rome. And he says on the back of this that the Son of David, Messiah, is sitting and waiting at the gate of Rome. And in case you do not know who he's talking about, dear listener, I would remind you he's talking about none other than the Pope of Rome, that beast that rides, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, that reigns over the kings of the earth, as it's written in Revelation 17, 18. Read all about that mother of harlots and abominations of the earth and her hierarchy, who calls herself Mother Church and is based out of Vatican City. And now, Kenny, as I'm going to now go separate ways here, until next time, dear listener, God bless you and yours. And would you please explain to our listeners some more about the oxymoron of artificial or anti-Christ intelligence, as I'll call it?
All right, Tim, and I was already planning that. You didn't even know that. I was planning that. As we mentioned last week when the first little clip came in about our artificial intelligence, about this subject, this one actually kind of explained it. they explained this guy who's trying to do this so-called Bible, Mickey Mouse comic book, he himself openly tells you, dear listener, that somebody, namely him or somebody else, had to put the intelligence into this device to make it so it would be able to write its so-called Bible, its comic book. Because think about it. This so-called intelligent computer or whatever it is, it couldn't tell you what the word crap without somebody first defining what crap meant. Somebody had to define it for that computer. Excuse me, but we as human beings, we learned what crap meant by going to school. Where did this computer learn what the word crap meant? So where did it get its crap? I'll tell you. It got it from some moron who sat at a keyboard and typed in the words. Put a bunch of dictionaries and encyclopedias into the memory banks of this computer. And now what they're going to do, if you listen very carefully, they're going to feed a bunch of different perversions of the Bible into it. Not just the King James, but they're going to feed a bunch of perversions in there too. And when they get done, most likely I would not be surprised they don't put Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible in there too. And that's how it's going to come up with this nonsense that homosexuality is, oh, it's really cool. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with sin. There's no such thing as sin. There's no such thing as God. Blah, 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 blah. I almost got Ruth out here ready to barf. Well, that's what they're going to have. They're going to have a literal barf version. Okay? Literally. They're going to have something that's not even worth a burning barrel. All because somebody put the information into this computer that told it, well, this is what this means. I'm sorry, that computer didn't learn first that C meant the sound K for cat.
God help us.
It didn't learn the letter A meant for A for apple. R meant R for rat. P meant P for Paul. Put the letters together as cur or app. It didn't learn that by doing it as we did in school. It just learned it because somebody typed a bunch of symbols into a computer keyboard and then fed in a bunch of dictionary words and encyclopedia stuff, and that's where it got it. So it doesn't even know what crap is, okay? It just knows a definition. And that's where it's going to get this Bible. By taking a bunch of perversions, putting them all together, and then taking this man's ideas, his slant on things, and putting it with all these perversions to come up with a new Bible. It's not artificial intelligence. It's fake nonsense. Amen. All right, Jim, you want me to go ahead with the next clip?
Yes, Kenny, go ahead with the next clip. But you got to be careful how much you comment because basically we've already used up about 1 hour of what we had left. We have like 5 minutes of what the 1 hour that you said we had left. So you got to be careful with that.
All right. Well, that's why I stopped where I was. Okay.
But yeah, you can play the next
clip.
Here
we
go. Just be careful how much you comment in between.
The Biden administration lands yet another gut punch to Israel's national security, and Netanyahu announces he's going to pay his first visit to China in over 6 years. Yes, you just heard of both those things in the same sentence. What on earth is going on? We're going to break it all down for you here on the show. I'm Ben, and this is the Israel Guy. Welcome back to the Israel Guys, where we believe that in a world of Jew hatred and anti-Israel propaganda, you should have a direct connection to the land and people of Israel. That video was from a mine-clearing operation that Israel is doing on the Golan Heights. Massive fields of mines left over from Israel's multiple wars, many wars with their neighboring Arab countries, and Israel is using new technology to clear out some of those minefields. And Ukraine apparently is in talks with Israel to hopefully be able to take some of that tech and use it in Ukraine, God willing, in the near future. Guys, I know there's a lot competing for your attention here on YouTube, but if you stick with us until the end of this video, I have something really cool waiting for you at the end. So stay with us all the way through the program. The headline dropped this week. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be paying his first visit to China in over 6 years. This comes on the heels of the Biden administration thwarting Israel's national security again and again and again and again. The Biden administration has strongly opposed Israel's building of communities in Judea and Samaria and have firmly upheld the idea of a two-state solution, even though they know it would be national security suicide for Israel. They have equated the deaths of innocent Jewish civilians with that of the terrorists who murdered them. They have given massive financial assistance to the Palestinian Authority, knowing it will end up paying the salaries of those same terrorists, and have turned a cold shoulder to Israel's democratically elected government under Netanyahu and not extending any kind of an official visit for invitation for him to visit Washington during his term to date. Worst of all, instead of supporting Israel and their bid to keep nuclear weapons out of the hands of their sworn enemy, Iran, Washington is quietly brokering a deal that would land billions of dollars in Iran's weapons coffer, presumably to be used against the state of Israel. So China is showing increasing interest in the Middle East, with the most recent example being Beijing's brokering of the deal between Iran and Saudi Arabia, which coincidentally is another display of faith lost in the Biden administration by the Saudis. And according to reports, Netanyahu expects to possibly discuss efforts to normalize relations between the Saudis themselves, a move that would undoubtedly be looked upon with disfavor by the Biden administration, especially if it is brokered directly with China. So why is Netanyahu going to China? Why is he going through with this? Quite frankly, I think this is Netanyahu's way of sending a very clear message to Washington. The Israelis pursue American interests in the Middle East every single day of the year and in so many different ways. In return, Israel expects some level of common sense from the from America's approach to Israel's national security interests. If not, Israel just might have other options they can pursue. I think that's kind of the message right there in a nutshell. If America's not pursuing Israel's interest in the Middle East like Israel is doing for America, as allies should, then Israel is not without options on the foreign policy front. Pretty bold moves for the government of Israel, but we've seen bold moves from Israel recently in a lot of different ways. The bold moves they're taking in Judea and Samaria to hopefully step up their security game. We broke all that down for you in our video last week. If you haven't seen it, check it out in the description below. Some really cool stuff there. Guys, if you're not subscribed to this channel, please do it now. We're fighting censorship from YouTube, from the big tech platforms that do not like conservative channels like these. We know for a fact that YouTube does not enjoy recommending our content to new viewers like they do for Al Jazeera and CNN and MSNBC and all the left-wing networks. So counting on you as a viewer to help us get our channel out to new audiences by sharing it. Together, we can really do this. So we're going to get into Israel's latest bold move in stopping Iran. Full of bold moves today on behalf of the state of Israel. But first, just want to tell you about one of the best ways to support Israel right now. You should join the Heartland Challenge. Pick one item that you use on a regular basis and commit to only purchasing that item from Judea and Samaria. If you're wondering how in the world you can purchase products from Judea and Samaria, our friends at Blessed by Israel make it super easy for you to do. They source incredible boutique products from small businesses located in Judea and Samaria, and they ship those products directly to your doorstep. We've partnered with Blessed by Israel to promote the Heartland Challenge, encouraging supporters of Israel all around the world to commit to using certain products only from Judea and Samaria. So whether it's olive oil, tea, soap, ceramics, or something else, Blessed by Israel is encouraging everyone to buy what you believe in and then share the message with your community and your friends. Time to build and invest in the Heartland of Israel. Join the Heartland Challenge and start making a difference today. To find out more, go to blessedbyisrael.com. Again, that's blessed, BUYIsrael.com, and use the code INVEST at checkout for $5 off your first order. The link is in the description below. So back on the foreign policy front and Israel's fight, this time with Iran. From the Jerusalem Post, this says the defense establishment seized millions of dollars in cryptocurrency belonging to the IRGC's Quds Force in Hezbollah just days ago. Defense Minister Yoav Gallant announced Tuesday. He said this was the largest seizure of cryptocurrency from those groups to date. The Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Quds Force, is Iran's elite intelligence agency for terror, spying, and fomenting unrest overseas, and Hezbollah in Lebanon is one of its main proxies. So even though cryptocurrency has been super exciting in a lot of different ways in Western countries, it also unfortunately has been used for a lot of evil in terrorist countries, also different criminal organizations, because it's very difficult for worldwide governments to track. And Iran is no exception to this. Cryptocurrency has been used at the massive detriment of Israel and other countries as well, in Israel and Iran's funding of terrorist operations all over the world, specifically around the state of Israel. Not only is Israel, largely concerned about Iran developing nuclear weapons, but Iran is in direct war with the state of Israel every single day, in there providing weapons and funding and training and so much more to Hamas, the Palestinian Authority, to Hezbollah in Lebanon and other groups surrounding Israel. They're basically fighting a proxy war with Israel every single day. And so Israel has no compulsion about fighting back in any way that they possibly can, including very unconventional means, which we've seen happening in Iran from the state of Israel over and over and over and over again over the last 10, 20 years. And the seizing of cryptocurrency by the state of Israel, I think, is just absolutely amazing. These funds that would have been used to slaughter and murder people and sow terror inside the state of Israel and other countries will go to doing good things like defending the state of Israel and who knows what all else. So this is probably some sort of cyber attack. We really don't have details in that regard. But unconventional means, absolutely amazing. Obviously, if it comes to a hot war where Israel actually has to attack Iran, more power to them if they decide that's what they have to do and to keep Iran from obtaining nuclear weapons, which they absolutely cannot do. Iran absolutely cannot obtain nuclear weapons because it could be absolutely detrimental for the state of Israel, because they've sworn over and over again that if they obtain nuclear weapons, they will use them on Israel. And I think Israel absolutely has to take that seriously. This war with Iran using unconventional methods, like I said, it's been going on for a very long time. Israel's been, for years, assassinating nuclear scientists inside of Iran, been, with localized bombing, hacking power grids, and also remember the Stuxnet virus that Israel, well, we say Israel, no one quite knows for sure, but more than likely Israel, possibly the United States, was able to infect into Iranian computers that were connected to the nuclear reactors, and cause who knows untold amounts of damage to Iran's nuclear program. All this that Israel's done over the years has slowed down Iran's nuclear program by absolutely who knows how much. Obviously, Israel's not really super thrilled at advertising all the missions that they've done in Iran. Also, Iran's not super thrilled about advertising how weak they are in regards to Israel. But good news on that front. Hopefully it will continue. Hopefully Iran will maybe get a leader in one of these days that actually has the sense to focus their time and money on building up their own country and their own citizens for good and not attacking the state of Israel, because flash news, it never goes well. Every single country that has tried to wipe out the state of Israel over history, it's never ended well for them. Israel's still here today. Many of them do not exist. Also, other really good news from Aviatar. We talked about this on our video last week. Again, if you have not seen it, check it out. Link in the description below. But Aviatar is a new community in Judea and Samaria that's been evacuated several times. Evacuated meaning the Israeli government kicked out the settlers that have come back to try to settle their ancient homeland, largely due to pressure by the United States. And last week, after the horrific attack in LA that killed four Israelis, several families and yeshiva students came back to Aviatar in an attempt once again to settle, to bring life back to the hills of Judea and Samaria in response to the terror, in response to the death, to bring life as Israel is so good at doing. And to date, the families and yeshiva students that have come back have not been kicked out by the Israeli government, which is fantastic news. We know that there's a platoon of IDF soldiers that have been providing security to those there, which is amazing. The Times of Israel said they reached out to the Prime Minister's office, to the Defense Ministry, Defense Minister Yoav Gallant and Bezalel Smotrich, and all of them have declined to comment. So hopefully no news is good news. Hopefully the fact that they have not been evacuated so far is good news, and this will be allowed to stay. So as I teased at the beginning of the show, for all of you who are still watching, I have one more really, really, really cool video that I found from the AFP news agency. Check this out here.
וכשמסתכלים קדימה, מאוד ברור שיהיו עוד פחות אנשים. מצד אחד, מצד שני, היבול הולך, צפוי לצמוח, יותר אנשים, יותר צריכה. הפער גדל, ובעצם זה המקום שבו הרובוטיקה, הטכנולוגיה נכנסת לכל פינה, מחיישנים שמודדים לכל דבר אפשרי בשטח, לעבודה עם רחפנים, לעבודה מדויקת, ניטור מדויק, כל נושא הדאטה, מלשבת ולרשום במחברת הקודם שלי, למידע שפשוט זורם לי בצורה אוטומטית ונאסף. בכלל בשנים האחרונות עבודה עם ביג דאטה, הבנה של ששם נמצאות הפתרונות של...
Really, really super awesome stuff. Israel using robotics and artificial intelligence and a number of other technological developments to bring absolutely amazing technology to the world. This kind of stuff is going to be used, has been used, and will be used to help bring food to people that need it in poor countries, further development in the agricultural front, and also just bring blessing into all the countries of the world. Israel is really and truly being a light unto the nations in so, so many ways, just as God prophesied so many years ago. Remember to subscribe. Let us know what you think down in the comments below, and share this video. Help us beat YouTube's algorithm and get these shows into the hands of as many people as possible. As always, tune out the fake news and tune into what is actually happening here in the land of Israel. We'll be back every day, Monday through Friday, with your direct connection to the land and people of Israel.
And just to say, as America's done to Israel, that's where our blessing lies. So we need to treat Israel right. Amen.
I literally can't believe it. The Democrats and Joe Biden are seriously considering cutting Social Security and Medicare. You heard me. The talking heads in the media are carrying their water right now. We're going to get into this right here, very serious, and we're also going to talk about what an appropriate response would be. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We have the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And as we close in on the 4th of July, one should realize just how many of our traditional American values we have lost. And, you know, the only thing the left can ever, ever say, well, you had slavery. And then they try to bootstrap to everything we do sucks. Well, we corrected that heinous mistake. But the left won't let it go away. The left just wants to destroy this country so they can impose their brand of authoritarian Marxist communism. And all our traditional values, all the things that made America great, are going away, including taking care of our elderly. And there comes a time when a country just needs to stand up and say, you touch this program. You modify it so much as one nickel, we're going to stand up to you. And that's where I think we're at. We're going to talk about that in some detail. Hey, we're brought to you by night vision binoculars. These are great. You go out hunting, camping at night, you know, what's out there in the woods, take a look. 4K, you can actually play back what you're seeing. You can take still photos. Chargeable battery, this thing lasts forever. This is a really cool device, but I like it for home defense. I like it for home defense because if you've got to defend your perimeter and trouble comes at night, you better have the night vision. If you have it and they don't, you're probably going to win. If they have it and you don't, the opposite is true. That's why we really recommend the Night Watch Pro. It's conveniently priced right now on a clearance at 60% off. You really need to have this as part of your home defense because America is becoming a war zone. Have you been near the border? They're not reporting on it in the media. Fox News stopped reporting that when Tucker Carlson hit the road. But have you heard the accounts of the border? See, I live in Arizona. I get to hear about it every day. It's a flipping war zone. People sitting in their farmhouses near the border, armed and afraid to go outside. You heard me. This is the constant, just undeniable state of fear that our people are living in. That's why this is a good deal, nightwatchpro.com. I absolutely am just, I don't think there's any coming back from what we've got. It will take a miracle from God, and I don't ever sell God short. He can do anything. But if it's up to us, all we can do is just keep our head above water right now. We're fighting for sheer survival, financially, resources, safety, foreign invasion. Biden, in 2.5 years, has taken us to the brink of destruction. And our little Republican friends, let's have an investigation. Do you think there's enough evidence to have a impeachment trial? At least do something. At least do something. It's absolutely incredible what I'm seeing going on right now. Let's get down to a couple facts here. The movie The Purge. You ever heard of that? Yeah, we're going to talk about that later today. This fits in as the prequel to The Purge. If Biden had his way, there would be no one left over 65, except for him and his friends. He's a Fabian socialist, which means if you don't put more into society than you take out, you should be done away with. Well, wait a minute. We built the society. Doesn't society owe us a debt? Not according to these Fabian socialists. So now the talking heads in the media are beginning to say, Social Security is unsustainable. You know what that means is we don't care if old people live or die. We don't care. In fact, we do care, actually. We'd like to see them all gone. And there are serious discussions now in the media, which, like I said, they're carrying the water for the Democratic Party and the Uniparty members. But there's serious discussion about cutting dramatically Social Security and Medicare. And I have an appropriate response. If they do that, for people who've paid into the system and paid their taxes all these years and built America, and then they're at the end and money they've paid in, their money, and you're going to reduce or take away programs, it is time to stop paying taxes. Isn't that a nice, peaceful, reasonable response? But I'm not just calling on elderly people if they do this to not pay taxes. I'm calling on everyone. You see, we're waiting for the House to defund the DOJ because they're hopelessly criminally corrupt. We're waiting for them to defund the FBI, which is a special Biden Gestapo enforcement force. We're waiting for all this. You know, the ultimate power lies in us. We can simply defund the FBI ourselves. And I, for the life of me, can't figure out why we're not doing it. We have lost our country. And yet we just continue to take broadside hits. And all we do is just meekly complain. Again, look at France. I'm not in favor of riots and burning down city halls, but at least they're doing something. And here, we're just laying down and taking our beating. So that's why I suggest something that's nonviolent. If the government is going to steal our resources, Social Security and Medicare, then you have no obligation to pay taxes. You're paying taxes for what? Oh, so they could fund their illegal immigration programs. Do you realize they're bankrupting hospitals by the dozens every day? Do you realize that free medical care has to be given to illegals? Do you get free medical care? Why are we not acting? Please answer that in the comment section. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up, like us. Make sure you're a member of the CommonSenseShow.tv, where here we do the news, there we do in-depth documentaries, and we really hope that you will become a member of what we do there, because we bring in experts to tell you this is what's happening, this is what it is, this is how you deal with these unprecedented times and challenges. The CommonSenseShow.tv, sign up today.
And all I got to say on that, their topic is they've been threatening about the cutting off Social Security and all that, but they know the seniors have the votes. The seniors have the votes, and also those on Medicare and Medicaid and welfare have votes too. And they know that they, those people, will put them out of office if they try that nonsense. So, they may cut the programs, but they're not going to do away with them altogether. So I will say that. Yeah, they're going to try to cut those programs. And I agree with this brother here that maybe the taxpayers, those who have paid into the programs, might want to say something also and raise their voices with those who are poor that don't pay into the program, you know, that get, like those that are disabled that get SSI, et cetera. If they all stood up, I'll agree with that. But in the end, it comes down to this. They're not going to shut down the program altogether because they know they're the ones going to be voted out if they did. Amen. And on to our next clip.
This isn't just who you're going to marry or what you're going to do for a job. This is where you're going to spend forever. Is it beyond me? Do you want to hit it? Do you think there's a heaven and a hell?
No.
You got no hope in your death? You're just waiting for death to come?
Yeah, I want to see what happens. I don't think it's possible to know.
Do you believe in God?
No.
You're an atheist?
Yes.
Why?
I don't think there's enough proof to say that there is a God.
If I gave you proof, would you change your mind?
Yeah, it would have to be pretty good proof.
I can give you pretty good proof, absolute scientific proof, in about 1 minute.
Should we give it a try?
Sure.
Every building is proof of a builder. Every painting is scientific proof of a painter. We know that because a building cannot build itself. It's impossible. And a painting cannot paint itself. Builder could have died 100 years ago, but you know there was a builder because the building's there. Painter could have died 300 years ago, but you know there was a painter because paintings don't paint themselves. Creation is evidence of a creator. Flowers and birds and trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, puppies and kittens, male and female, the seasons, the fruits, all these things are evidence of the genius of God's creative hand. An atheist believes the scientific impossibility that nothing created everything. That's your alternative. That's where you fall back to. If you believe there was no creator, then everything was created by nothing, not from nothing, but by nothing, and that's scientifically impossible. Nothing cannot create anything because it's nothing. That's why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there's no God. Let me ask another question. Sorry.
Who created God?
You know, there's certain things in life that are very sure, and that is when an atheist gets proof of God's existence, they default to that question, who created God? Here's the answer. God is without the dimension of time. We are in time. We have to wait for time to pass. But God dwells in eternity, and that's where you're going to go when you die. So here's a question for you, Vanessa. Is your life pleasing to God, or are you doing things that are morally frowned upon by him?
Probably say I would do things that are morally frowned upon him.
See, that's why we deny God's existence, because it makes us feel uncomfortable that God sees us. Do you know that God knows how many hairs are on your head? Did you know that? Every single one is known by God. In fact, he knows intimately the middle atom that makes up your eyeball because he made it. He gave you your brain, your blood, your skin. Everything about you was given to you by God. He gave you the ability to enjoy good music, hearing, the ability to enjoy the blueness of the sky, eyesight, the ability to think. That's your brain. Do you think you're a good person?
I try to be.
This is a deliberate swing from her intellect to her conscience, because my agenda is not to convince her that God exists. She already knows that. God's given light to every single person. My agenda is to show her her need of God's forgiveness. I want to share the gospel with her because that's the power of God to salvation. That's the way she can find everlasting life. And for the gospel to make sense, I've got to take her through the commandments. It is the bow of the moral law that gives the arrow of the gospel its thrust. I'm going to put it to the test. Can you be honest with me?
Yeah.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Probably a lie. I couldn't count.
So what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
So what are you?
A liar.
You still think you're a good person?
Yes.
Have you ever stolen something in your whole life, even if it's small, irrespective of its value?
Yes.
What do you call someone who steals?
A thief.
So what are you?
A thief?
No, you're not. You're a lying thief. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Probably.
Do you love your mum?
Yes.
Have you ever used her name as a cuss word?
No.
Why not? Because you respect her and you love her. But you've taken the name of the God that gave you a mother and gave you life and used it as a cuss word. Very serious. It's called blasphemy. Okay, going personal. Jesus said, if you look with lust, sexual desire at a guy, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
So here's a summation. This is for you to judge yourself. I'm not judging you. But Vanessa, you told me you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. You have to face God on judgment there. If he judges you by those commandments, the Ten Commandments, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Hell. According to God.
Yeah. Do you believe in God?
No.
You're an atheist?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Breaks my heart. It horrifies me. I don't want you to end up in hell. Do you know what death is according to the Bible?
No.
It's wages. Did you know that? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. In other words, God is paying you in death for your sins.
Even people who don't sin die.
Can you think of anyone who hasn't sinned?
No, that's because everything is a sin.
Such as?
Like drinking, right?
No, that's not a sin. Drunkenness is a sin, but drinking isn't. You can drink wine with your meals if you feel to. Just don't get drunk because it's a poison. When you're intoxicated, that means you've got poison in you. You're toxic. And so the Bible's just give some practical guidelines. What else is a sin? We love sin. We love that which is wrong. The Bible says that. So back to what I was saying. Death is wages that God is paying you. It's like a judge looks at a criminal that's murdered three people. The judge says, you've earned the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what's due to you. This is what we're paying you. And Vanessa, sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. Your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin. So let's see how your knowledge is. What did God do for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell? God did something wonderful. Do you know what he did?
No.
You actually do, but you don't value it because you don't understand it. Have you heard of Jesus dying on the cross?
Oh, he died for us.
He died for our sins. Now, most people know that, but they don't know this. And if you can get a grip of this, it's going to change everything for you, so don't be distracted, okay? The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said, it is finished, just as he died. He was saying, paid in full. It's like being in court and having a stack of speeding fines, and the judge says, well, you've got these fines, but someone's paid them. You're out of here. You can leave. You can leave because someone paid your fine. Well, God can take the death sentence off you and let you live forever legally because Jesus paid the fine in full on that cross. And then he rose from the dead and defeated death, and all you have to do to find everlasting life is repent of your sins, that's turn from them, and trust in Jesus as your Savior, like you trust a parachute. If you're going to jump out of a plane 10,000 feet, why would you put on a parachute?
To not die.
Yeah, to not die, and your motive would be fear. You don't want to hit the ground at 120 miles an hour on your face. So that fear is your friend, not your enemy. And Vanessa, because I care about you, I've tried to put the fear of God in you today to scare you a little, to say this is deadly serious, hoping you'll see that fear as your friend, not your enemy, because it'll drive you to the foot of the cross where you can find everlasting life. Is this making sense?
Yes.
You going to think about what we talked about?
Yeah, I will.
When do you think you'll repent and put your faith in Christ?
I don't know.
Let me speed it up for you. When are you going to die?
I don't know.
Could be tonight in your sleep, couldn't it? 150,000 people die every 24 hours, and youth is no guarantee of old age. So there's a sense of urgency. Can you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't put it off. This is your eternity. This isn't just who you're going to marry or what you're going to do for a job. This is where you're going to spend forever.
Yeah.
Is it beyond me? Do you want to hit it? Where is it?
On your
shoulder. Oh, dear. So what are we going to do? I'm going to close this now before the beep. But please think about what we talked about.
Okay.
Can I give you a free Gospel of John? You know what a Gospel of John is? It's the fourth book of the New Testament. Okay? And you'll really enjoy it. And is that bee left?
Mm-hmm.
It's gone?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So you've got to think about what we talked about.
Yes.
Okay. Let me get you that Gospel of John. Open it up. Looks like a bundle of money because it's more precious than all the money in the world because it tells you how to find everlasting life. Do you think you'll read it? Real quick, here are three things to help you grow in your faith. The Living Waters Podcast, the Evidence Study Bible, 200 of the most commonly asked questions of the Christian faith, and much more. The Starter Kit, 4 of our most popular gospel tracks, available at livingwaters.com.
And with that, we'll move right into our midway song.
Troubles and trials often betray those on in the weary body to stray, but we shall walk beside the still waters with the good shepherd leading the way. To have strayed, sought by the Master, he who once gave his life for the sheep. voice of a stranger, for he would lead us all to despair. Following on with Jesus our Savior, we shall know that heavenly shore. Going up home to live in green pastures, where we shall live and dine evermore. Even the Lord will be in that number when we reach that heavenly shore. When we shall reach that heavenly shore.
Heavenly Father, Lord, now, as we get ready for the message, Lord, we ask you that you would empower the message, Lord. Lord, we ask you to just touch it, bless it, and help us, Lord, to know your will, Lord, and your way. We thank you, Lord, that we could serve you. Lord, we thank you that you gave us a free country to live in, that we could serve you and study your word. We could preach, Lord, and not fear, Lord. They're taking that from us, Lord. But, Lord, until your age of grace ends, that won't come to an end. So we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Yes.
All right. Today we're going to be dealing with actually two very similar holidays, but on two separate days. I'm going to be covering both at one time. Flag Day and Independence Day, which is the 4th of July. And I think it's important for us. Now, wait a minute. JFWs have at least one point, right? We shouldn't worship the flag. But to them, just because you say Pledge of Allegiance doesn't mean you're giving your allegiance to that flag. But in all honesty, the words you're saying is literally that. I pledge or promise my allegiance. The word allegiance is another way of saying worship. But it's also another word for dedication and service. See, the JWs don't understand the word allegiance. Allegiance means several things. It could mean worship. And unfortunately, some people have gotten the holiday too far. Too far from its original beginnings. So I first want to go into Flag Day and Independence Day, what we know about them, and what they used to be, and what they're supposed to mean. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about what they are today, and then what the Bible has to say. All right? And while I get Ruthie to reading this, I also want you to get your Bible open there, Danny. All right. And I want you to have ready for us John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. John chapter 8, 31 to 36, okay? That's what I'm going to have you ready with, because when she's done reading, I'll be letting you know when I need that, okay?
31 to 36?
31 to 36, so just have that. John chapter 8, so I have that ready. John 8, 31 to 36.
Already open to it.
Okay, good. Have that ready for when I'm ready, okay? But Ruthie's going to read this here for us first.
Okay, first I'll cover Flag Day. Okay, Flag Day was observed on June 14th, and the earliest observance was June 14th, 1877. President Harry S. Truman signed the National Flag Day Bill on August 13th, 1949, thereby giving official recognition to June 14th as a Flag Day. Honor the flag is done by displaying the flag, and official ceremonies are performed. That's all they had in that book on that, the Independence Day. When observed July 4th, first observed July 4th, 1777. The 4th of July, the greatest patriotic holiday of the American year. It celebrates, of course, the birthday of our nation, that July 4, 1776, when John Hancock, President of the Continental Congress, and Charles Thompson, Secretary, signed the Declaration of Independence, the first 4th of July celebrations in 1977. Independence Day was celebrated in Philadelphia in 1777 with ringing bells, bonfire, and fireworks. Ships in the harbor fired 13-gun salutes, and houses in the city were illuminated with candles in the windows. An official dinner was enlivened with music provided by the Hessian band, which had been captured at Trenton. The only reported complaint about the festivities was made by the Quakers, who objected to the windows broken during the celebration. Congress adjourned for the day and celebrations every year of the Revolutionary War. The first state to vote official recognition of the holiday was Massachusetts in 1781. Fireworks, sparks, and spectacular. Firecrackers and fireworks have long been a symbol of the 4th of July. Each year they become more elaborate and spectacular. From morning to night, the reports of firecrackers are heard. 1983 is the 200th anniversary of the signing of the Treaty of Paris, which ended hostilities between the United States and Great Britain.
Okay, now, we don't have a problem with that, okay? We don't have a problem with fireworks or celebrating and being patriotic, okay? No one misunderstand me here. I'm not against being patriotic and thanking God for a nation in which I'm free.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. But I think when you go overboard to the point of worship, wait a minute, there's nothing wrong with having a few fireworks or going to see the fireworks now to a guy like me. Well, it's just nothing but a bunch of noise, okay? My wife makes that much noise in the kitchen, all right? Damn it! But at least I get some good fresh steak and homemade mashed taters. Amen. At least I get something good out of that. Amen. But Danny's getting hungry over there while I'm talking about these homemade biscuits too. Amen. Homemade gravy. Homemade bacon gravy with homemade mashed taters. You getting hungry, Danny?
Yeah.
Long time till next Sunday, huh? You got to do without eating till I'm done preaching. Amen. Amen. Well, anyway, the thing is, the whole deal comes down to that there's nothing wrong with celebrating, but why are you celebrating? I mean, come on. Fireworks from the beginning of June, just about. People throwing off their firecrackers from then all the way until what? After August? Come on.
Yeah, come on here.
How long do you got to keep blowing them stupid things up? I mean, one day of it I can handle. But day in and day out for month after month here, and bing, boom, bam, boom, 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 bam, boom, boom. Get a life.
Yeah.
I mean, come off it. One set of fireworks is okay on one day of the week, at a one day of the year. But every day in and out for months on end, that gets old. That tells me that you went from celebrating a holiday to worshiping fireworks. Hello? Something's wrong with that. What are we trying to celebrate on the 4th of July?
Yeah.
Signing of the Declaration of Independence. And what does the flag represent? Freedom. And what does the Declaration illustrate? It's a symbol of freedom as well.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is, does really the nation of America set you really free? But can a nation, think about what I'm saying, can a nation truly set you free? The answer is no. There ain't a nation, there ain't a person, or a group of people that could set anybody free.
Yeah.
You could be out of jail with all the money you want in the world and still be in bondage. But yet, you could be in chains, behind bars, in steel walls, encased by cement, and be as free ever could be. Now, I know some people are saying, now, preacher, that does not make no sense, that a person that has got all the money in the world, hasn't done a thing, and he's not in jail, is in bondage and not free, but yet someone inside of a jail is free. Well, because we're not talking about what your physical body is able to do. Freedom does not come from the ability to move about without stumbling blocks or hindrance. That's not what that ain't the word for freedom. True freedom comes from within the person. Well, how do we get that? Well, let's find out how we know that true freedom comes from inside of a person. All right, Danny, we need John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36.
Then said Jesus to those Jews, believed on him.
Hold it. Now, Jesus is about to talk to just a bunch of religious Jews, like the Pharisees, right? They were Messianic Jews. Even then, it says, Jews that believed on him. These are folks that already got saved. These are folks that believed in Jesus, that Jesus was the Messiah. They believed Jesus was the true and only God, and they believed him to be that God that they were waiting on, the Messiah, their king. So they believed on Jesus. So Jesus is speaking not to the whole nation of Israel, but yet to a selected group of Israelitish people that had trusted in him already. These are people that Jesus said are saved. And what does he say to them, Danny?
If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed.
Now, how can you know somebody who's in Christ? One trait is he's always in God's word.
Yes.
If you abide in me and I abide in you. Remember that scripture?
Yes.
Well, here he's saying you have my word and you abide in my word. Then are you my disciples? You see that? Okay, go on, Danny.
Okay, verse 32. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free.
Whoa. You shall know, that Joseph Smith is God, is some God, right? And some good, holy prophet. Oh, that Charles Taz Russell told you everything that should have been right and you shouldn't believe the Bible, right?
Oh.
What about Mary Baker Eddy? She had the truth. How about Ellen G. White?
Oh, thank you.
How about Muhammad?
Okay.
So all these other folks that say they had truth, did they really have truth?
No.
How can you tell when somebody has the truth? The answer's right here. You shall know the truth and?
Truth shall make you free.
The truth shall make you free. You cannot get freedom from a flag. You cannot get freedom by shooting off fireworks to represent the guns and cannons that you cannot shoot off fireworks to symbolize the cannons that fought a war that saved you, that pulled you out of the clutches of the King of England. You cannot use those symbolic things to say you are free. They're only symbols of what happened to free you from the clutches of tyranny and of a monarchy, but they themselves, even that release from that monarchy, does not give you freedom.
Yes.
The true key to freedom is truth.
Yes.
Now, how do you know if a quote church, a group of people have the truth? this verse just told you. Verse 32 answered that question. If they have truth, when you go in there, you're free. They will not put you under a bunch of bondage and a bunch of stinking rules.
Yeah.
You won't have a preacher getting up there saying, well, if you're caught smoking, we're going to disfellowship you. You're caught doing such and so, we're going to treat you like a dog. Wait a minute. If someone is caught smoking in this church, let me tell you what, I'm going to preach at it, and if God ain't got you under conviction for that sin, then I have to question whether you got saved in the first place. But I'm not going to treat you like my enemy. That ain't my place. Wait a minute. We had a lady who used to come here and visit all the time. Puffed on cigarettes till her head just about fell off, but she still was allowed to visit. And I treated her like a human being. Look, cigarettes have nothing to do with whether you're free. If anything, cigarettes are putting you under bondage to a doctor. Oh, booze, you may think you're free, but until you got liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, then you'll find out how free you are going to the doctor's office. You'll find out how much freedom you got. Hello? I'll preach it that way. So the whole point is, I'm not against somebody who does that stuff. I'm against the sin, but I'm not against the person. Oh, well, but preacher, what about money? You got to run your church. Oh, wait a minute. If God is going to send money to this local assembly and put money into this work, God will send it on his own. He don't need your help. And he don't need my help by me getting up and pounding on people's head, give me so much percentage of your income. And then make you feel bad when you don't do it. Because that ain't the book. Jesus said freedom comes from truth. Truth gives you freedom. I mean, it's painfully obvious right here in this verse that he is saying truth and freedom are coincide to each other. They're equivalents to each other. You cannot have freedom without truth, and you cannot have truth without freedom. And then you wonder, some people wonder why we get truth freedom fellowship. Well, right there you go. Here's our verse. You didn't know that, Danny, did you?
No.
I didn't tell you all of it. See, truth freedom fellowship, truth freedom is right from this verse. Truth for the scripture, because it's going to give you freedom. That's the only way you're going to get it. And I am so sick of these preachers that get up and tell you, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do the other thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, get a life. I mean, look, if someone really needed me at 4 a.m. in the morning, I'm not going to bite their head off because they call me on the telephone. Now, if they keep calling me on a consistent basis at 4 a.m. and all they want to do is talk, about a bunch of nonsense that is not urgent, look, I am going to tell them I don't mind talking to you, but it's going to have to be during the day. Let's use a little common sense and a little bit of tact, okay? But I'm not going to tell the person that I don't love them. And I'm not going to say, well, I don't want you to ever call me again unless it's a prayer request, et cetera, et cetera. Ugh, get a life. You call that freedom when you tell your people that the only time they could call your house is for a prayer request or prayer praise or because something important? I find something wrong with that. But a preacher tells a brother of that garbage. Ugh, get saved. And if you are saved, you need to get right with God. That's what you need to do. Amen. Because Jesus gave us truth, and when Jesus gave us truth, it gave us freedom. Amen. Okay, come on, Danny.
Okay. They answered him, we, the Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou shall be made free.
Okay, now hold it. Hold it. These guys are thinking of what type of bondage?
They're thinking of bondage to a man.
Bondage to a man. Physical bondage, either in slavery or in jail or whatnot. They're thinking of that, and they're saying, well, just because we're Abraham's seed. Yet these folks already have Jesus. They're already saved, as the previous verses say in verse 31. These are folks that are saved, but yet they think their freedom comes from the fact that they're Abraham's seed. Just like we think our freedom comes from living in America. Well then, honey, you got some big time misconceptions. When they're out there trying to tell you that they're going to take under God out of our Pledge of Allegiance, and they're going to stop you singing song, "Oh Beautiful for Spacious Skies, Amber Waves of Grain, Purple Majesty, Above the Fruited Plain, America, America." They're going to have you stop singing songs that have God in it. God shed his grace on thee. They're going to take that out of there eventually. They want to take "In God We Trust" off our money, and you're telling me we live in a free nation? No, you don't. You're living in a nation who's getting under bondage to a bunch of homosexuals and a bunch of reprobates who don't have nothing to do with Jesus. Don't tell me you're in a free nation. You're not in a free nation. Truth brings freedom. So Abraham's seed here, the fact that they are Abraham's seed had nothing to do with it. But they had the assumption just because they were born as Israelites, just like we assume because we're born in America, that makes us free. But what did Jesus have to say about it? Come on, Danny.
Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin."
Huh? You want to repeat that?
Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin."
What kind of bondage is he talking about?
Sin.
Jesus is not talking about physical bondage to a man. He's saying, look, you're worried about physical bondage. That has nothing. That's why earlier I said a person in a jail cell could be as free can be, even freer than a person on the outside with no chains and lots of money. Why? Because that person in the jail may have just got saved, and even though his physical body is locked up and confined, his soul is as free will ever be. That's what we're talking about. Just like Jesus is talking about here, there's a difference in freedom. Freedom does not come from what your physical body is capable of doing or not doing. It has to do with what your heart is able to do. If you're under bondage to sin, you're in more bondage than you know. You're more bound up than a person in jail. Amen. Come on, Danny.
"And the servant abideth not in the house forever, the son abideth forever." Verse 36, "If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed."
But the son abideth. Who's the son? Had nothing to do with Abraham, boys. You can be Abraham's seed and still be in bondage, but what you need to know is your freedom doesn't come from being an Abraham's seed and being an Israelite by birth. What you need to understand is that it's the Son who gives you freedom indeed. What freedom was he talking about? Freedom from sin. Now, a familiar passage that everybody knows. Most of us know the one verse by heart, could quote it inside out, upside down. But look at it in the verse that follows. "For God so loved the world," John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, dear friend, are you listening? Are you listening? For God so loved you that he gave his Son Jesus, that if you believe in him, you will not perish or go to hell, but you will have everlasting life. For God sent not Jesus into this world, earth, to condemn you, but through him you would be saved. That's a powerful vote toward freedom. That's a powerful thing. Are you truly free tonight? That's the question. See, freedom don't come from a flag. It don't come from a country. It don't come from shooting off fireworks from June until August or September.
Right.
Freedom don't come from that mess. Freedom don't come from Fred taking and standing on the battlefield and giving up his life for France or England or America or Japan. That don't give freedom. It only allows that country to get away from another country if they win the war. But what the real deal is, freedom from sin is only accomplished one way. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then finally, for if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Do you want to be free? There's only one way to be free. One way to be free tonight, and it doesn't come from your flag. Doesn't come from going down the street and spending $30 in gas to go watch some bunch of colored fire in the sky that gets bigger and bigger and makes a big old bunch of noise. That don't make you free. Hey, the rocket's red glare sure enough helped get me out from under England, but it didn't get me to heaven.
Right.
Amen. Hey, I'm glad for the rocket's red glare and the bombs bursting in air. Gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that there were some men who were willing to die for what they believed in and stand up for what they believed in. They had a backbone about them, stood up and said, we're not going to put up with this mess. You know what the problem is? There's more people willing to stand up to get themselves out of tyranny to another nation, but they won't stand up for the truth in the Bible. And some of them call themselves Christian, they still won't stand up. Shamey, shamey, shamey. Amen. So tonight, as we get ready for the altar call, just want you to ask yourself, how free are you? How free are you? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the message now. Lord, as we get ready to give the invitation song and give a chance for anybody to be saved that wants to be saved, Lord, we ask you, Lord, would you save them? Help them to be free indeed. And the only freedom they're ever going to get is from the truth of your word. Because you said you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by you. So, Lord, we ask right now, as you are that truth, would you put yourself into these people's hearts and show them their need for real, real real freedom. It's not that we're against celebrating the freedom of the country from England, Lord. The problem is they don't even know what real freedom is. And, Lord, I ask you to show them their real need for real freedom tonight. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen.
And another little point, Ruth, that I want you to help me with here is something that's very unique is speaking of freedom and our American flag. It's very interesting when we talk about the American flag that, yes, even the Jehovah's Witnesses are right on this point, that we've actually taken that to a point of worship. Because, okay, Ruth, you know some of the etiquette things they talk about the flag. about not letting it touch the ground.
That's true.
Okay. Now, when they say don't let it, if it did touch the ground, what are people supposed to do with it if it touched the ground?
Burn it.
Okay. And say a rip got in the flag. What happens then?
If it's not real bad, you can sew it.
Okay.
If not, they probably would recommend you just throw it out.
Okay. So, but, and then they tell you, well, if someone's carrying the flag, let's say in a parade or something, you're supposed to put your hand over your heart and remove your hat if you're a man.
Right.
Now think about what I'm saying. It's the flag is a symbol of freedom.
Right.
But now, if a preacher's walking down the street carrying a Bible,
right,
if he's carrying a Bible,
right,
how many people are expected to remove their hats and put their hand on their heart?
They don't usually do that, but really, I think we should respect the Bible.
Think about it. Now, which is more important, a flag, which is only a symbol of freedom,
right,
or the Bible, which is God's word?
Right. The Bible is God's word a whole lot more.
Don't we find a problem with that?
I do have a great deal of problem with that.
Now, if the flag just touches the ground, well,
right,
we're supposed to burn it.
Right.
But if you accidentally drop your Bible and it hits the ground.
Well, yeah, well, you know, like our scripture signs, they fall down if people don't tell us we can't put them back up. You don't want God's word in the mud. So.
But no, think about what I'm saying. Most people, if their Bible should fall out of their hands onto
right,
the ground.
Right.
Now, nobody says go and burn your Bible because it fell onto the ground.
Oh, no.
No. Now, think about it. We have more of a worship or respect for the stupid flag. Excuse me, I call it a stupid flag.
It is stupid in comparison to the Bible.
For the stupid flag than we do the Bible.
Right, the Bible is a whole lot more important.
I mean, the Bible, it's got God's word in it. Well, if it falls on the ground, oh, just pick it up and go on about your way. If the Bible, if someone's carrying the Bible down the street, oh, well, don't worry about it, Judge. You don't have to remove your hat. You don't have to put your hand on your heart. You don't have to do nothing like that. But let someone come down the street carrying a flag, and you're a male, take off your hand, put your hand to your heart. If the flag happens to touch the ground, burn the thing. I find that coming down to worship.
Well, you're right. It does sound that way, too.
Doesn't anybody out there listening have a problem with that?
I'm sure they do. They probably like to speak up.
I mean, dear listeners, you have a problem with that.
I'm sure they would.
Hey, you can mention it by, as Brother Tim said, emailing him at thewordoftheking.
Sure.
AV1611@hotmail.com. And mention and say, you heard me speaking on this and how you're in total agreement with that. Yeah, we treat our flag, the United States flag, with more reverence, if not worship, than we do the Bible and how far that we've gone with that. All right, now we're going to play this second to last clip. The last clip is a last chance invitation song. But this here last clip, we want you to hear, and we hope you'll check it out.
Do you think there's going to be a judgment day?
No.
Really?
No.
Believe in God?
I do believe in God, yeah.
So what sort of God is he that doesn't believe in right or wrong? When a woman is raped and strangled to death, your God doesn't care. There's not going to be a day of reckoning for a murderer that got away with murder. Surely there must be a sense of right and wrong in the God that you believe in, because he made you in his image, and you've got a sense of right and wrong. You've got a conscience that tells you when you do wrong. You know the difference between man and animals? Any idea?
Morals.
Yeah, that's it. Morals. We believe in justice and truth and righteousness. We set up court systems. When someone does wrong, we punish them. In fact, we will chase a man to the ends of the earth who's committed murder and spend literally millions of dollars to bring him to justice. The animals don't do that, and the reason we do it is because we're created in God's image. So it makes sense that God is going to have a day of justice if he believes in right and wrong. Think what Hitler got away with. One shot to the head, we're being responsible for the murder of 11 million people. If God doesn't care about that, then God's evil. Any judge that doesn't bring criminals to justice, just lets them go, is evil. He shouldn't be on the bench. And if God isn't going to have a day of judgment, then God is evil by nature, and the Bible says the exact opposite.
People believe God is good, then why is he letting people get raped every single day, mass shootings every single day?
The story in the Bible about Moses who said, God, let me see your glory. God said, you can't see me and live. And this is what he said that's very strange. He said, I'll hide you in the cleft of a rock so I won't kill you, and I'll let my goodness pass you by. And that's a very strange thing for God to say. Moses said, let me see your glory. And God says, I'm going to show you my goodness. And the reason that God hid Moses in the cleft of a rock is because God's goodness would kill him immediately if he stood in God's presence. Let me see if I can make sense of that for you. Think of a judge in a court of law. Someone's brought before him who has raped an 11-year-old girl and strangled her to death. If he's a good judge, he's going to be furious. He'll bring down that gavel in wrath if he's a good judge. If he's not, he'll say, oh, I'll give the guy 3 months. I'll give him a fine. But his wrath, his anger, will be in direct proportion to his goodness. And if you and I stood in the presence of God's goodness, the Bible says his justice would kill us and damn us to hell. So let's say if you're a good person, have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes, all the time.
Why do you do that? You think, who in history has had his name used as a cuss word? Would you use your mother's name as a cuss word?
No, but I feel like it just rolls off of my mouth.
That's what it means by taking it in vain. You don't give it any due honor. You substitute it for the word beginning with S, describing human excrement, to express disgust. That's called blasphemy. God gave you life. The eyes you're seeing with a moment are a gift from God. The brain you're thinking with, the taste buds that you've got to enjoy good food, the ears you're using to listen to good music are all gifts from God. Instead of saying, God, I'm so thankful, you've used his name as a cuss word. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yeah.
How many lies have you told? That's the ninth commandment.
A lot.
Ever stolen something? That's the eighth.
Me, stolen? Are we talking about, like, monetary value stolen, or?
You can tell someone's a thief when they repeat the question because they're abiding time. You say to someone, have you ever stolen something? They say, ever stolen.
Me, stolen.
That means there's something going on in their brain that wants to abide time so they can think of an answer. But have you ever stolen something in your whole life, even if small, irrespective of its value?
I think so. Also, I like your response. That was very good.
Not good. You're like the rest of us. You're a self-admitted, lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart. So if you stand before God and his perfect goodness on Judgment Day, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
Definitely guilty. So does that mean, like, most of the population is going to hell?
If they die in their sins and they stand before God on Judgment Day, they will be damned. We've got God's promise on that, and that's why I've spent my life sharing with people like you. So you've had a Catholic background. What did God do for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell? He did something wonderful. Do you know?
Is it repent?
No. God actually did something. You know what it is. But because you don't understand it, you don't value it. Jesus died on the cross for the sin of the world. You know that?
Yes, I do know that.
Well, this will change everything for you if you can get a grip of this. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's why he said, it is finished, just before he died. He was saying, paid in full. If you're in court and you've got speeding fines and someone else pays them, a judge can legally let you go. You can say, you're out of here. You're guilty, but someone paid your fine. You can leave. And even though you and I are guilty before God of a multitude of sins, God can legally let us live forever because Jesus paid the fine in full on that cross, rose from the dead and defeated death, and all you have to do to find everlasting life is repent of your sins and trust in Jesus. Do you know what repentance is?
I think it's in the lines of just regretting of your sins sin.
Well, that's called contrition, where you're sorry for your sins. And the Bible says godly sorrow works repentance. Repentance is where you turn from sin. You don't say, I'm a Christian, but you lie and steal and blaspheme and fornicate. That's playing the hypocrite. You've got to be genuine and perpetually turn from sin, but that won't save you. What will save you is God's mercy, his amazing grace. And he can extend that towards you because of what Jesus did on the cross. He can give you everlasting life as a free gift, not because you're good, but because God's good and kind and rich in mercy. Is this making sense?
Yes, it is.
You're going to think about what we talked about?
I definitely will, yeah. I don't know. I feel like we're going to be sinning every day.
Yeah, that's true. But your sins are either seen or they're washed away. If you're trusting in Jesus, God no longer sees your sin. If you're a rainstorm and you've got an umbrella, you can stay dry. Well, God's provided an umbrella to save us from his wrath. That's the Savior, Jesus. If you're sheltered in him, you're saved from God's wrath. Remember, Moses was hidden in the cleft of a rock from God's goodness so he wouldn't perish. There's a famous hymn that says this, Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. If you are hidden in Christ, you've got everlasting life. If you're still in your sins, you're going to come under God's wrath on Judgment Day, and that breaks my heart. I can't tell you how much that horrifies me. I want to see you in heaven. Here's the reason you should take it seriously. When are you going to die?
I don't know.
God knows. God knows.
Yeah.
He knows everything. And it could be tonight in your sleep. God forbid, but it could happen. 150,000 people die every 24 hours. So there's a sense of urgency. And examine my motive. Why am I talking like this? Why is there so much passion in my tone? It's because I don't want you to go to hell. I'm terrified for you. So I want you to go away and think about this seriously. Do you have a Bible at home?
I do.
Boy, crank it open. I bet it's got a little dust on it.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's God's love letter to you, and it's a special book, well, the biggest selling of all time, because it tells you how to find everlasting life. Can I give you a book that I've written?
Of course.
It's a book I wrote called Scientific Facts in the Bible. Real quick, here are three things to help you grow in your faith. The Living Waters Podcast, the Evidence Study Bible, 200 of the most commonly asked questions of the Christian faith, and much more. The Starter Kit, 4 of the most popular gospel tracks, available at livingwaters.com. If you haven't seen The Fool, you've got to watch it. It'll explode your faith in God. It will delight your heart. It's a wonderful story. You can watch it right now by clicking up to your left.
And finally, one last chance we want to give you, dear listener, if you don't know Christ, to accept, play this last invitation song before we close out the program. Please accept Christ today. Don't wait, as this brother dear said. You don't know. You could die tonight. You could die within the next 10 minutes. Don't wait. It is too urgent. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. So make your choice today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Show me how much you love humility. Oh, Spirit, be the storm that leads me to the humble heart of love. Jesus, to have the
heart in me. You are the God of the humble. You are the humble King. Here in the dusty ground, I bow with kings. Where wise men laid before their offerings, I lay no golden crown here at your feet. Just is my broken life I offer thee. You are the God of the broken, the friend of the weak. You wash the feet of the weary, embrace the ones in need. I want to be like you, Jesus, have this heart in me. You are the God of humble, you are the humble King. God of the broken, friend of the weak, you wash the feet of the weary, embrace the ones in need. I want to be like you, Jesus, have this heart in me. You are the God of humble, you are the humble King.
And remember to check us out every week here on the Six Eyes Radio Network for the Word of the King at 1 p.m. here only on the Six Eyes Radio Network by calling 424-243-9617. And, of course, by going to your iHeartRadio app and typing in Six Eyes Radio. And you'll be able to have all our great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. So for the crew here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, God bless, good night, and we'll catch you tomorrow night here on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern for the Wednesday night, the Six Eyes Wednesday night Bible study, only here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless everybody. Good night.
Good night.